So we are holding on K-Alice over Alice about six lines from the K-Alice from the Bays, about six, 7 lines from the end of the narrow line, London Chapel. Okay, we left off in a discussion, as we're in the middle of a discussion on the question, do we say when you have to pour shirayim of blood onto the surge of the mizbeach, does that mean specifically it has to be poured onto the horizontal surface of the yisod, which the Gemara calls istiva, or is it enough if you pour it onto the wall, onto the vertical wall of the mizbeach, and it trickles down onto the yisod? And the point was, we were discussing the question, mokum ola mokum shirayim. Is it, can we say that the same place, the wall of the mizbeach, where the blood of the ola is supposed to go, is the same place the shirayim of a chatos is supposed to go? If we say yes, then it means that if blood of an ola that has not yet been sprinkled on the mizbeach gets mixed up with blood of a chatos where the applications have been done already on the top half, using the, on the four corners, and all that's left is the shirayim, then it would be okay. You could do it in one place on the bottom half. Okay, so I said yesterday that maybe we're talking about you already did one of the ola, but whatever, the point is you could do it along the wall of the mizbeach, it'll trickle down to the yisod, and that way you're accomplishing both yisod, both yisod for the shirayim of the chatas, as well as the wall for the blood of the ola itself. If we say makam ola is not makam shirayim, then that wouldn't work. So we went through a number of different attempted proofs and counterproofs on this question, Makam Ola, Makam Shirayim. The last thing we left off with is we mentioned the case in our Mishnah where blood of Chatas and blood of Ola were mixed together. So the Mishnah had said, yes, we have a Machlokes of Eliezer and the Chachamim, should you pour it out into the Amma because it's puzzle, or should you go ahead and do on the top half and then on the bottom half, which is what Rabbi Eliezer says, because he says Yoyin, but because he says you can consider the blood that goes in the wrong place as if it was water. But nevertheless, he said everybody agrees in the Mishnah, even the Chachamim, that if without asking he went ahead and put some on the top half, then everybody agrees, go ahead and put on the bottom half, and it'll count for both korban. So now, if we're talking chasas and ola mixed up, then that could only work if you say makam ola makam shirayim, because the shirayim and the chasas have to go onto the yisod. The blood of the ola has to, the applications of blood of the ola, the zrika, has to go on the wall of the mizbeach. Only if we say makam ola, makam shirayim, which is what Abaye was saying and what Rosh Lakish was saying, only then can that work. Which is makam ola, makam shirayim, that they can put them in the same place, on the vertical wall of the mizbeach. And you're good. But if you go like Rav Yosef, or you go like Rav Yochanan, that shirayim has to be poured onto the istiva, onto the horizontal surface of the yisod, then our mission doesn't work. So the last thing he said was that he offered of, so we may as well start a couple of lines earlier. He offered of Yitzchak by Yosef Omar, one in Shirayim. He offered of Yitzchak by Yosef Omar. When Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Amri b'mar Rava, they said in Eretz Yisrael to answer this question, Hachab Mayasinan, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? Not we're talking about Chasas mixed up with Ola. The expression in the Mishnah had not been, the Mishnah hadn't specified what Korbanus it was. It just said, blood that's supposed to go on the bottom half is mixed up with blood that's supposed to go on the top half. We assumed all this time that it meant chasas and ola. But not necessarily, says Rabbi Sofayet. It could be talking about, you could be talking about that blood of a chasas chitsoina, a chasas that goes on the outer mizbeach, where blood of it goes on the top half, is mixed up with shirayim of chasas apnimi, which goes on the bottom. Well, because the Mishnah just said that bottom half and top half. It didn't say what. But in other words, Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef is saying that they're both chatzos, but one is a chatzos chitzona, one is a chatzos apnimi. Meaning, in other words, therefore, again. Matt, so here you have a different issue. It's not so much the issue that So here then we're not dealing with the issue of makam ola makam shirayim. Our Mishnah may not be addressing that issue at all. Rather, the reason why the Chachamim in our Mishnah would say that it's possible and should be pouring out into the Amma is for a different reason. Because blood that is supposed to go inside the hayfal and be sprinkled over there is not supposed to be sprinkled on the top half of the outer mizbeach. it's supposed to be. You do all the sprinklings in the Hail, and then after that you take all the Shidayim and pour them out onto the Yisod. And therefore, so in this case, we're mixed up, and then in this case we're mixed up with... That's the point. The Yitzchak Yosef is saying, our Mishnah is not addressing the question of Makom Ohel or Makom Shidayim. It's true. If, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, given that Makom Ohel is not Makom Shidayim, if you had blood of Chasas and if you had Shidayim of Chasas and blood of Ohel mixed together, what it says in our Mishnah to just go ahead and do it on the bottom half might not work, because you're not covering yourself for both cases in case it's an Ohel and in case it's a Chasas, because those are different places. But rather, what we're dealing with is over here, that you have blood of Chasas Chitzona, which is supposed to go on the top half, and then the Shidayim on the Yisod, is mixed up with Shidayim of Chasas Hapnimis, which is just supposed to go on the Yisod. So therefore, the whole issue that we have in the Mishnah over here, the Machloekes of the Ezra and the Chachamim, is should you first be going and taking some of this mixture, or some of these, again, it could be a mixture of blood, it could be a mixture of process, as we discussed earlier, whatever, should you be taking some of it and daubing it on the four corners on the Mizeach, on the top half, before you go and pour them both at Shirah? The Chachamim say no, Rabbi Eliezer, because they don't hold Yoyin, Rabbi Eliezer holds yes, because he holds Yoyin. But B'dievet, if you did that, then it would be kosher, because the fact of the matter is that the applications of blood, the hazois, were all done with Nim already, and now all that's supposed to be left is to take the Shirayim and pour it on the Yisod, but taking some of that Shirayim and using it for the top half won't pass it.
So what's the implication for the Mishnah that talks about?
In other words, therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is saying the Mishnah may not be addressing that issue.
Yeah, but
it means that we have a machlokas on that. Is it true that Makom Ohel Makom Shirayim or not? Can you pour Shirayim onto the wall or not? The Mishnah is not addressing that point.
We don't know.
So you have a bias saying one way. And we have Rabbi Yosef saying the other way. And same thing between the Shlokish and Rabbi Yosef. Okay. Only Abaya asks the Yitzchak Bar Yosef, fine, given that you're giving this answer, that you're talking about blood of Chasas with Mr. Shirayim of Chasas Hapnimis, Abaya says to him, the name of Marek Rendi out of the Shirayim. As long as you're talking Shirayim anyway, why do you have to drag in the Chasas Hapnimis? Just say more straightforwardly that you're talking about that a Chasas Chitzono, whose blood has not yet been applied to the Mizrach, has gotten mixed up with Shirayim of another Chasas Chitzona, where the blood was already put on the top half, and now you just have Shirayim to deal with. And now you have the same, issue. In other words, because the difference is, Rashi says, because when you're talking Chasas Hapnimis versus Chasas Chitzona, then the different kinds of Chasas, according to the Chachamim, are actually poured onto the Yisod in different places. Yisod Ma'arovi for the Chasas Hapnimis, and Yisod Gerovi for the Chasas Chitzona, as it says in Ezra Makoma. This concept that we're saying that if we want to say that our Mishnah is talking about Chasas Pnimis mixed up with Shirayim Chasas Chitzonis, Shirayim Chasas Pnimis mixed up with Chasas Chitzonis, that can only work according to
Shirayim.
Chasas Chitzonis that has not yet been sprinkled at all on the Mizeach, mixed up with Shirayim Chasas Pnimis. If you, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, are going to say that, says Abaya, the problem with that is that only works out according to Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shimon. Because we learned in Ezra Makoyman, you had a three-way machloikas, where are Shirayim of Chatois poured? Of Chatois Hapnimius poured? You had the Chachamim saying that Chatois Hapnimius and Chatois are poured in different places. And Yisod Ma'arovi on the western side for Chatois Hapnimius, because that's the first one that you meet up with when you come out of the Hekel. Yisod Dromi for the Chasas Chitzonis, for the same reason, the first one you come to when you come off the Fetish. So if you go like that, then explaining our Mishnah that way won't work. Because then you're telling me that you have a Chasas Chitzonis, where ultimately the Shirayim are supposed to be poured on Yisod Dromi, and you have Shirayim of Chasas Hapnimis, where ultimately they're supposed to be poured on Yisod Ma'arovi, and you're saying you're going to pour them in the same place. That doesn't really work. You can only make it work according to either Rabbi Shmuel, who says that both of them go on Yisod Ma'arovi, or Rabbi Shimon, who says both of them go on Yisod Dromi. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, as long as we're dealing with what the Mishnah is talking about, the blood of a korban was mixed up with Shirayim of another korban, instead of talking Chatzos HaPnimius versus Chatzonis, at having this issue, then that it doesn't work according to all Talmudim, why not the name of Mark going to be out of the Shidayim? Why not just say more straightforwardly? You're talking about they're both Chatzos Chitzonis, so the Shidayim is going to go in the same place on the Mizbeach according to everybody. The only issue is one of them has already had its blood applied to the four Kanyas on the Mizbeach. The other one has not, and you have the same issue. Should you go ahead? Should you go first and take from each container of blood and apply on the top half and then go ahead and pour them as Shidayim on the third? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, because Lo Yonoi Tefila in Mayim. The Chum disagrees with that and say that Yishof Eklama. But B'dyeved, the Mishnah, is saying if you didn't ask and you went ahead and did it, then it would be kosher. Why don't you say it that way? Why are you bringing in the Chafas Nimi? No, we were dealing with that before. That's the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is giving his answer is according to the opinion that Makom Ola is not Makom Shirayim, according to the opinion that Shirayim does have to be poured onto the horizontal surface of the Yisod, not onto the vertical wall of the Mizbeach and then trickle down. According to that way of looking at it, you have to explain our Mishnah as talking about the Chafas Kesonis and Chafas Pnimius have been mixed up. That Baye is asking, fine, then I can understand why you're not saying Chafas and Ola, because that gets into the whole Mokum Ola, Mokum Shirayim thing. But why don't you say that you're talking about two Chatoris Chisonis, one where the blood was already applied to the crown, to the crownness and the Zeach and one not? Why drag in the Chafas of Nis?
We would call that the Shirayim of
one. Yeah, we're talking about Shirayim of one and the whole of the other, yeah. Dilma, Hoka, Mashmalon, so says Abaya to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, maybe though the reason why you're explaining the Mishnah like that, that we are talking about one Chafas Pnimis and one Chafas, and the Chafas Chitzona and the Shirayim of the Chafas Pnimis, maybe because you say that the Mishnah wants to inform us of the following Kiddush. Afilu l'mando om Shirayim ma'afin, even according to the opinion, which we learned back in Ezra Mekoyman, that pouring out the Shirayim of Chatoris Pnimis is ma'afin. Now we say in Ezra Mekoyman every day, we say Imlay not on Malifiv. But we learned in the fourth and fifth parak, there's actually a machlokes about that. And you have Tanoim who hold that when it comes to Chatoris Pnimius, if you don't pour the Shirayim on the Yisod, the korban is possible. That is massive. So maybe then, so
any part of the Yisod, or the Yisod Mitzvah?
Well, the Pasha is sitting there. There is no Yisod Mitzvah. You mean Yisod Ma'arabi?
Yes.
Yisod Ma'arabi, yeah. Yeah. But maybe, because says, yeah. Says Abaya, maybe
that's
what...
That's the only Yisod.
No, there's also Yisod Tzoyin. The Yisod runs along the whole north and the whole...
The
whole is in the southwestern corner. Fine, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Fine. But maybe what you're saying is the Mishnah wants to tell us, maybe the Mishnah wants to tell us that even according to that opinion, if the Shirayim are missing something before you spill them out onto the Yisod, even that opinion would say the korban is still kosher, because that's exactly the situation we're dealing with over here. You have blood of a chatos apnimis, where the hazois were already done in the hekel, that part was already done. All that's left now is shvichas shirayim, not to be said. Now you have a chatos chitzona, where none of the blood has been applied yet to the mizbeach. Those two sets of blood were mixed up, either in one keli or different keli were mixed together, whatever. And therefore you're saying...
So they're chatos.
No, how is it? It's chaser in the sense that what are you going to do? Let's say we're talking about different kelim. So what are you going to do? You're going to take from one kelim, which might be the chatas chesona or might be the chatas pnimis. There might be shirayim of the chatas pnimis, and you're going to apply to the four corners of the mizbeach. Then you're going to do the same thing with the other kelim. Then you're going to spill them onto the yisod. Well, it comes out whichever one is the shirayim of the chatas pnimis, you don't have all the blood there because some of it was put onto the corner. So maybe, says Rabbi, sort of Yisrael Yosef, maybe that's why you're explaining, maybe that's why in Eretz Yisrael they explained it Dafka that way, in order to say the Mishnah is telling us a Chiddush that even according to the opinion that you do have to pour the Shirayim onto the Zayah, but you don't have to pour all of them. If you poured some of them, it's good enough, because in this case, that's exactly what would be happening. Some of it ended up going on the Taunus on the Zayah, and some of it is going onto the Yisrael. Because it's right, because you did from one, then you did from the other, and it might not.
Let me clarify this. The Shirayim is the remainder of what was sprinkled.
What was sprinkled in the Heichel, right.
In the Heichel.
Right. Well, here you have, now that got mixed up with another Mizrach full of blood from a Chatas Chitzona, where it's supposed to be daubed on the four corners of the Mizbeach, and then the Shirayim poured onto the Yisod, and now you don't know which one is which. So what we're saying is, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, go ahead, l'hachila, and take from each one and put on the four corners of the mizbeach, and then spill the rest onto the yisod from each one. The Chachamim disagree with that and say, l'hachila, you shouldn't be doing that. L'hachila, you should be pouring them both into the amah. However, b'di'evet, im le'nimlach, if you didn't ask, and you did that, and you did on the top half, then yes, you can go ahead and spill them both onto the yisod. The point of that would be that even though one of them is the shirayim of the chatas ha'pinis, and we're saying there are tanoim who hold that must be spilled on the yisod and it's not from the carbonous bottle, but it doesn't have to be that you got every bit of blood onto the yisod. It's good enough that you got some of it, because in this case, some of it ended up going onto, well, most of it, but still, some of it ended up going onto the carbonous
bottle.
Where then that goes straight to the right. No. We're saying b'diyev, imle nimach, if you didn't ask. Then both... But if you know which one is which, then obviously you're not pouring anything into the amma. The whole point is you got them mixed up.
I'm talking about the shirayim of the regular component.
Yeah, that gets poured onto the yisoid.
Also,
usually it gets poured onto the yisoid, yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, into the yisoid. The amma is only for pulses. Okay, then that's where you're getting confused. The amma is a water channel that runs through the azar. On Erev Pesach, they use it to clean the azara or whatever. So that's where they would spill blood that became kosher. Blood that's kosher, once they finish doing whatever application is supposed to be going on from the mizbeach, goes on to the yisoid hamizbeach. Eventually, yeah, it also trickles down and under the mizbeach into an underground channel over there and goes out to Nachal Kidron.
And if you finish your
line, are supposed to go on to the yisoid.
Going on to the yisoid.
Right. Exactly. When we talk about going to the Amma, we're talking about the third pulse. Right. The Rabbah says far now after Rabina. What are you telling me that we're talking about over here, that you have your chafas pnimius, your chafas chesoner. The question is, should you daub it on the four corners? This braisa that we just quoted before about not on the mailavol and nimach, which led to the Yitzchak Bar Yosef's explanation that we're talking about chafas chesoner and shirayim, not braisa actually, our mission. Didn't we explain earlier in the Sylvia on Peyom days, we explained that was talking about a case where you have more blood of it is chassas and ola, and you had more blood of chassas than you had blood of ola, because yod l'mayla shir tachtonim ba'od, and he said there what you have to do is you have to put at least the amount of the blood of the ola, plus a little extra, in order that, no matter what, even if ain bila, that you have at least some of the blood of the chassas going on the top. So what are you telling me now that all of a sudden we're trying to explain it as talking about chassas nimis and chassas kofenis? Omalei, the Rabbina answers, hani yidu, l'manda omri me'ikra. Yes, but we only needed that according to the discussion that we had then, where we were trying to figure out Rav Ashi's understanding of Rav Eliezer, where Rav Ashi held that Rav Eliezer holds ein bila, that they don't fully mix. Tanimilo, mandra omer meikra ein bila. So when we said to begin with that the machloikas is regarding yesh bila or ein bila, then according to Rav Ashi we had to understand it that way. Maskana b'koytus lizi, but in the end we said we don't need all of that. In the end we had Rav's statement that we're not talking about. The mission is not talking about cases where the liquids themselves mix. We're only talking about a case where kosis will confuse one with the other. And therefore, you don't have to say anymore that it's talking about more blood of chassas than ola, and you're doing kashir ola and more lamaila. You can just say straightforwardly that you're talking about, you do some of it lamaila and some of it lamasa from each kosis. And therefore, we can use Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef's explanation that we're not talking about chassas than ola at all, but rather we're talking about chassas tnimis and chassas chesedim. So the bottom line is Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef's explanation works according to the opinion that work is needed according to the opinion that Makom Ola is not Makom Shirayim. If you say that Makom Ola, Makom Shirayim, if you say that Shirayim in general can be poured onto the wall of the Mizeach, then you don't need Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef's answer. So you could say that the Mishnah is talking about more straightforwardly Ola mixed with Chassas. The halacha is that makom ola is not makom shirayim. Shirayim has to be poured dafka onto the horizontal surface, the istiva of the yisoid, not onto the wall. Okay.
Makom
ola is not makom shirayim. Makom ola is on the wall of the mizbeach. Makom shirayim is on the...
You mean,
is on,
say has to be literally for not on the wall, but on.
So in other words, Makom Ola is here,
yeah,
onto the vertical wall of the back.
Yeah.
Makom Ola is here, onto the vertical wall on the back. Makom Shirayim is down here, onto the horizontal wall.
You can't pour it on the wall and let it
change. Right, right.
So we do need the answer.
So we do need the answer. Yeah,
it goes to the same place.
It ends up going to the same place, but nevertheless.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're correct. Okay. Nishnah. Hanitonim b'sinimishin is azur b'nitonim b'chol. Now, how about you have blood that is supposed to go inside the hekel from the five hatoris of this, shnis arum litonim bachos, which got mixed up with blood that is supposed to go on the out only on the outer mizbeach, a regular chatos, that is. The chatoris of pnimis, you have the two of Yom Kippur, the power and the third of Yom Kippur, where they go inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in front of the Paroses and on the Mizbeach HaZav. And then you have the other three, the power Helam Gavar Shal Tzibur, the Siri Avar Dezorah Shal Tzibur, and the power and the power Helam Gavar of the Nasi, of the Kohen Mashiach, where those three go in front of the Paroses and on the Mizbeach HaZav. Yeah.
Okay.
So, or they all go at some point they all go on the Mizbeach HaZav. Chatos Chitzonim is a regular chatos, a chatos that a regular person brings for eating chalev or breaking Shabbos or arayis or what have you. That only goes on the outer Mizbeach. None of it goes into the Hekel. And in fact, we're going to start talking about in the Mishnah that if you bring the blood of such a chatos into the Hekel, it will make it possible. That's the next.
What are the five chatos?
Par of Yom Kippur, Thor of Yom Kippur, Par Helam Gavah Shal Tzibur, Tzir Avod Yitzchavim Shal Tzibur, and Par Kohen Mashiach. Those are the five. Yes, you have the outer Mizbeach and you have the inner Mizbeach. Yes, you have the outer cup is the golden Mizbeach. There is the golden Mizbeach. The outer it's used on Yom Kippur, but it's used for the other three as well. It's used for the other three as well, yeah.
Okay.
Right, but most korbanos are only brought strictly on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, on the outer Mizbeach, because in Moshe Rabbeinu's times it was plated with copper, later on it was built out of stones and then concrete or whatever, as we learned earlier. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah says, and it's turning this Nimshin, it's as many turning buffers. If you have blood that is supposed to go into the Hekel from one of these five kapos that got mixed up with blood that is supposed to go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon only, you shuffle the Amma, then you pour them into the Amma. Because then Rashi says you can't do any of this as well. You can't say you're going to bring it into the Hekel and consider it as if it was water. Because what you're going to do, what you would be doing effectively is that now I was going to ask why doesn't everybody else hold Royun in this case? But the point is that because you can't bring it into the Hekel, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, why we're going to see in the Gemara actually why everybody else doesn't say you can bring it into the Hekel and consider it as if it was water. If it's 2-1, then the Raita is possible anyway. Fine, but if it's bottle, then maybe we're not talking about that again. That we would have to be assuming, like, we're talking about we could be talking one on one. And second of all, also, two and one, fine, what you would say is the one carbon is completely out of the picture then. We're talking about, we want to know if we can be matched with both carbon. That is no way to do it. Okay. So you shuffle the ammo, you just pour it into the ammo. Nothing because of enough in the team. What happens though, if you didn't ask, and you went ahead and applied some of it on the outer Mizbeach, like you would do for a regular chatos, because of enough in this name, and then you brought it into the Hekel and did more hazois of it over there, kosher, then it'll be kosher. At least the chatos of pnim will be kosher, at least. The snim, because of enough in bachos, if you did the other way around, if you did them first inside and then outside, Rabbi Akiva post over Chachamim Machshir. Rabbi Akiva says in that case it'll be possible. The Chachamim will say that it's kosher because we're not talking about it. Sorry, so I said before that we're talking about a chapa snimit and a chapa sepena. That's not correct. We're talking about any other korban and a chapa snimit. So therefore, what it is, so if you do it bachot and then the snim, then everybody agrees it's kosher because it was already done bachot and all that's left now is the shirayim. But if you did it the snim and then you did it bachot, Rabbi Akiva says, now like this, you have the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that any chatos where the blood of it is brought into the oil moed, kapara, becomes possible. Rabbi Akiva learns, as we'll see in the Gemara, that means not only a chatos, it means all kapara. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that if you have blood of an oila mixed up with blood of a chatos, and you were to bring it into the hekel, the oila would become possible. So even you brought it out afterwards and did the hazois on the outer mizbeach too late. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, they say that concept applies only to a chatas kofenim. Should Rav Akiva Omer, as we see, as the Mishnah continues, because Rav Akiva says, Kol damim shenichnasu l'chatas b'heichol psulim, any blood of any korban that's brought into the heichol for kapara becomes psul. V'chamim chatas lovav, v'chamim say only a chatas, which is the only one that it says in the pasuk. Rabbi Yezer says the Oshem also, in other words, basically he agrees with the Chachamim, but he extends it not only a Chachas, but also an Oshem, because they have a positive like that makes a Hekesh between the Chachas and the Oshem, and therefore there has to be that similarity. We learned way back in the Chos Perek, we learned about what the Chachamim say, that you have other dinim that you learn from the Chachas, Ka'oshem, but then. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara starts off. The Nisla Gnami, Rabbi Yezer Baha. In the first case of the Mishnah, where we say that the blood that's supposed to go inside that was mixed with blood that's supposed to go only outside, we said yishofol ha'ama, and only if b'di'evid you did it, otherwise then you have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim whether it's possible or not. Why isn't Rabbi Eliezer arguing in the first case also? The same way as he said in all the previous Mishnayos Royin, that you consider a blood that's placed not where it's supposed to be as if it was water, do the same thing over here. Consider it as if it was water, and therefore it doesn't topple the carbon. Right. The answer is because the Gemara says, hey, she left. How are you going to make it work? What would Rabbi Eliezer tell you to do? Nasev v'chutz v'hadr nasev v'sim. Should Rabbi Eliezer be saying that the hachila, you should go ahead and be applying it to the outer mizbeach, and then go ahead and apply it on the inner mizbeach? Can't. To change the mitzvah lahakim al yoinim was not claiming, just as the proper way of doing the mitzvah is to put on the top half before the bottom half. As we said before, earlier in the Perek Chatas is supposed to go before Ola, and we're going to learn about it later in Perek Kolos Avir. Kach mitzvah lahakim ponim lachut. The same way, when you have blood that is supposed, when you have two korbanos that are waiting for you, one where the blood is supposed to go in the heichol, and the other where it's supposed to go only on the outer mizbeach, the one that's supposed to go in the heichol comes first. Pnim before chidzan. So therefore, you can't say that lachchila, Rabbi Eliezer can't be saying that therefore lachchila you should go ahead and do the chidzan first. What about gnei? What? He doesn't.
Oh, no, you can't just do that.
No, the fact of the matter is everybody agrees with that concept. Chassas Kedemus. Because he agrees with the underlying concept that Chassas is supposed to go before Ola. Well, then if he agrees, then
it's... He seems to be saying that he cannot.
That's the point. In other words, it's something that everybody accepts, that Chassas comes before Ola. So you can't say that Hachila, and by the same logic, that Pnim comes before Chos. So he can't be saying, he's not going to disagree and saying, I disagree and say that... That's the point. That's why he can't say in the Mishnah that you should do that. What about...
He's saying he doesn't disagree because it's not mentioned in the Mishnah?
He doesn't disagree with
totally
the concept. He agrees with the concept that Pnim comes before Chos. Therefore, he can't disagree in our Mishnah and say that in this case, go ahead and do the Chos and then do the Pnim and consider the Pnim as if it was water. It won't work based on that because he himself agrees that Pnim comes first. The nace of the Pnim, the other nace of the Chos. Should you say that you should do the other way around, put it into the Heichol and bring it into the Heichol, do the sprinkling over there, and then bring it out and do whatever is supposed to be done on the Mizbeach then? True. Rabbi Eliezer might say with many other korbanos you could do that because you could consider it as if it was water. However, given the Ikka Chatas Ba'asham, but the Mishnah just mentioned generically, Shinis Arub Nitanin Bachot, that blood of one of the Chatas Ba'asimis was mixed with a korban that goes Bachot, which means any type of korban that goes Bachot. Ola, Chatas, Shlomim, etc. So given the Ikka Chatas Ba'asham, now, among the category of korbanos that go Bachot, is chatas and asham, the chinichnas dam and stolen, where if you bring the blood into the heichol, they become fossils, Rabbi Eliezer himself said in the Mishnah, like sikalei, that Rabbi Eliezer can't say as a blanket statement in our Mishnah, always bring them lefnim and then do them lachos, because that wouldn't work for chatas and asham. So therefore, so in other words, he doesn't disagree in the Mishnah. In other words, he actually might disagree when it comes to most other korbanos, because since he holds, not like Rabbi Akiva, since he holds like the Chachamim, that only certain korbanos become possible when you bring the blood with him. Therefore, when it comes to, if it was an Ola or a Shlomim, that was mixed up with the Chatas HaPnimis, then yes, Rabbi Akiva could say, in that case, you have a way out of it, go ahead and do them listening. Don't worry about it becoming pulsal because it doesn't, because those don't become pulsal when you bring them listening. Then go bring them listening. The reason why he doesn't say that in the Mishnah is because then is because he can't say it as a blanket statement because it wouldn't apply to all carbonates. It wouldn't apply to chatos and it wouldn't apply to also. So therefore, he got basically, yeah. Well, in other words, the Chachamim might also agree with him on that. You don't even need Royan in this case. The Chachamim might agree with him on that also. Rav Akiva would be the one who would disagree because Rav Akiva would be saying there's never any way to do anything about it. Right. Then the Mishnah says, Shehoi Rav Akiva Oyer Bechola. Rav Akiva used to say that all korbanos that you bring the blood of them into the Heichol become fossil. All korbanos that not because he's brought in, that is, obviously. Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Moshe Lamar Dabadayim. What can we use as an analogy to explain Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Now it's like this. The Pasuk after all says, B'chol chatas asher yoro midama. On the face of it, that means just chatas. Where are you getting other korbanos? So what marshal can we use to explain Rabbi Akiva's opinion? So it's like this. The previous psukim before that are also talking about chatas. The previous psukim, before that, in Parashat Tzav, are talking about the basic rules of a chata. Tishrach at a chata, the kohen should tishrach at the other tishrach at a chata, a kohen of a chata is the yichlana, etc. So the four or five psukim before it are all already talking about chata. So Rabbi Akiva says, in that case, the pasuk did not have to specify the word, the chol chata. So it's already talking about chata. What's an analogy we can use with that? Imagine you have a Talmud who's mixing in warm water into his Rebbe's wine, because in those days, as we know, wine was very thick and syrupy and whatever, and they couldn't drink it neat, they had to dilute it. But sometimes they would dilute it with warm water. So a Talmud is mixing in warm water, but Amaloi Mizogli. And then the Rebbe tells to him, mix for me. So the way Rashi understands it, Rashi doesn't spell out in so many words, but it seems the implication from what Rashi is saying is that previously the Rebbe had told him, mix in warm water for me. Now he says, mix. Omolei bama. So the Talmud asks, what kind of water should I use? The hot or cold. And the Rebbe answers him, Loi b'chamin onu asotin. Weren't we talking all this time about chamin? I already told you previously chamin. Achshav, now that I said mezoigli, then it means bein chamin bein b'fonim. Then it means either hot, you can use either hot or cold. Otherwise, because in other words, I didn't have to say, if I just said mezoigli, then it would just mean use the same thing as before, use warm water just like before. Now, I'm telling you that it means either warm or cold water. Because in other words, once you're talking about something, once you're in the context of something, you don't mention it again. So the same way, Rabbi Akiva would say that once you're in the context of chatas, there's no reason for the positive use of the word b'chol chatas. Tosfos explains it a little bit differently, that originally, he hadn't originally told him to use warm water. He just told him mezoigli, and he went ahead and used warm water. Now, when he says again mezoigli, then it doesn't necessarily mean use the same thing again. It means use either hot, it means by mentioning it again, mezoigli, when already we're dealing with meziga, then it means either hot or cold. The point is, we can use that to understand that Rabbi Akiva would say, once it's already talking about chatas, and it mentions again, b'chol chatas, then it has to mean it's coming to add something extra. Therefore, it means other korbanos as well.
So you tell me to pour you, and I pour you hot. Then you tell me to pour you again. That means hot or cold.
Right.
Because
otherwise there's no reason to mention it, right. Talking about
me,
the
so same. How would you tell me if you wanted me to pour hot water?
Then you would say pour again, I don't know.
You would say pour again, not pour me?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. Talking about me, the same thing over here. Merci behalf of a skin involved. We're already in a context over there where we're talking about, we have Sukkim talking about chatas. Chatas the cost of Rahman Allah Mali. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, why should the pasuk have to repeat again chatas? El alav chatas kamin ala ela kol kodshim. It must mean, like in the mashal, it means not only chatas, it means other kodshim as well. However, maski for the hunabrei of Yeshua, Now let's consider. You have another din that it mentions in those sukkim over there, which also it mentions about chatas, but it applies to all other korbanos as well. Namely, we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn in a couple of prakim, you have a din also mentioned in Parashat Tzav that if you have a keli that chatas is cooked in, eventually the flavor particles that get absorbed into the keli are going to become noiser. When the chatas becomes noiser, that's also going to become noiser. Therefore, the Pasuk says it's a kucheres, you have to break it, and if it's a clean chosh, if it's a metal keli, then you have to scour it and clean it out, and mordak the shukas samayim. So we'll deal with when we get to that what exactly it means. How exactly you have to kasher it, but whatever the point is. So it says, after all, when it comes to the din of miriko shtifa, of cleaning out kalim that we use for cooking karbonis, there we learn from sukkim over there later on when we deal with it in the tenth perek, or whatever number perek it is, in the tzaddik, we're going to deal with it, the 11th perek actually it is, we're going to say that it applies not only to chatas, but all kodshim. So therefore, you could also ask chatas to kasher rachman alamalim. So then you could ask the other way around, that once you have a ribui that applies to other kodshim, that if it says chatas, then what would it mean? By the same logic, shmamin of chatas ain midi achrin aloi. Then it would mean only chatas. Because you have a limit to say that it applies to all other karbanas. So if it says chatas, then again, it means reverse the polarity, and it means you're going from all to only chatas. And it's not like that.
Yeah, I like that.
If you go from chatas to everything, but then you can also go from everything to chatas.
That's the two-fold.
But that's the two-fold.
So you're going
the same logic as the same way as the Rebbe telling the Talmud now telling him pour for me, and now it implies something different than before. The same thing in reverse. If we understand that there's a pasuk talking about all kodshim and then it uses the word chatas, then it should be limited only to chatas. But it's not, because it applies to all kodshim. That's how it goes back and forth like that. That's what we do. Okay. So therefore it says Rehuna Brand of Yeshua. No, rather if you want to draw an analogy, you would have to draw an analogy like this. El Talmud from Mozak Babai Bain Bacham and Bain Basun. And it would have to be the other way around. You would have a Talmud who's pouring for his Rebbe with hot or with cold water, almost like Al Timzik with Elachamin, and he says specifically, I only want you to use hot water. So you can't learn like that. So you can't learn like the mushroom that we said before that Rabbi Akiva is saying because it says chatas when it didn't need to, therefore it comes to add something extra. No. Ela time did Rabbi Akiva mechatas v'chol chatas. No, the reason is Rabbi Akiva is not learning from the word chatas. He's learning from the fact that it says v'chol chatas. The v'chol is a ribui, meaning all other korbanos as well. Titania.
I wouldn't learn if it was on.
So if he didn't have v'chol, then Titania is in fact we learn a braisa. When the pasuk says chatas, if it only said chatas, then you would only know that it applies to a chatas. How do we know that it applies to other kodshim as well? Ola and osham. Tamalama kol chatas. Therefore, it says kol. Kodshim kalim minayin. And how do we know it also applies to kodshim kalim, shlomim, and so forth? Tamalama vichol chatas. So the Bakiva says, actually, you have three things. You have chatas, you have kol, and you have the vod. So between, it could have said,
everything else in addition to
chatas. That's what I mean. Chatas itself means only chatas. Kol chatas means anything else that is like chatas and being kodshim kodshim. And zicho chatas means even kodshim kalim. No, that's how it goes. Zicho chatas. Zicho chatas and everything that is in some way like a chatas, meaning all kodshim. Dibir Rav Akiva, that's what Rav Akiva is. No, okay. Vichol chatas. And everything that is in the same category as chatas. Okay. That's Rav Akiva. Omole Rav Yitzchak Yehudi. Rav Yitzchak Yehudi says, no, I disagree with you. Afila atamar v'kolayim kuloy enya shemelach. Even if you're going to sit there all day long trying to find ribuyim in the process, I disagree with you. Because, Rabbi Yitzchak really himself says later, it says in the next couple of lines, that fine, there is the word b'chol, but he says that's only to be marba different types of chatois within themselves, not to be marba other types of korban.
That's not the pasuk.
so only within half of itself. Ela chasas. No, he says like this. Rather, you have to learn the pasuk like this. When it only said chasas, ami ela chasas yochid, you would only know that this din applies to a chasas brought by an individual. Chasas sibur minayin, where would we know the same din applies to take the chasas sibur, the chatoris of the shchodesh or yom tovim or whatever, and bring the blood into the heichal? How do you know they're pasul? Tamad lema kol chasas. That's what the kol is for them. The ami ela chasas zocher, chasas mekayim minayin. And if you only had the word kol chasas, you would think it only applies to male chatoris, not female ones. So therefore, Talmud Lema Bechol, and therefore the Vav comes to be just even female one. So you might ask, what's the law of Klapilaya? Which way are you going? In other words, most Chatois of Yochid, you started with the assumption that Chatos means Chatos of a Yochid. Well, most Chatois of a Yochid are females. The only Chatos of a Yochid that's a male is a Sari Nasi, if there is the one that's brought by a king. So what do you mean? It's a given that it means a Zohar, and you need the Vav to teach us it means a Mekay. But it's backwards. Elo HaKakama. So you're right.
It should be a
female. Yeah, so you're right. Flip it around. Amy ala chasas mekeva. If you only had the word kol chasas, you would only know that it applies to chasas mekeva. Chasas zocha minayin. How do we know that it applies also to the king's chasas, which is a male? Talmud lema v'chol chasas. That's why it says v'chol chasas. Okay, Tosfos asked the question, actually. I mean, once we have chasas sibur, all chasas sibur are males. Why do we need any special thing to include a yochid's male chasas as well, if we already included it on the basis of the korban of sibur? Okay, Tosfos leaves it as a question. All korbanos of sibur in general are males. Okay, Shitamuk about this adds from a different version of Tosfos that the difference is by a sibur you don't have, there's no such thing as an akeva. You still have to know that by a yachid, where the default chasas is an akeva, you still need something extra to teach us that it applies also to a zon. No, so that's the answer. Once you know chasas sibur, you would say fine, but by definition all chasas sibur are males. You still wouldn't know that it applies to the unique kind of yochid male chasas, namely a king, and therefore you need the both. Fine. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak learns from that. The question is, in the end what we're saying is the Vav is teaching us chasas zocher of a yochid. The chasas mekeva of a yachid we already know because that's the default kind of, that's the standard kind of chasas for a yachid, and we learn that from the word chasas. So the vav and the kol teach us also chasas zocher of a yachid and also chasas sibur. But that's Rabbi Yitzchak Levi saying it's all. That's the point, in other words. But that was Tosfos' question. But that's what Shitamuk Bresson is adding, that since by sibur you don't have such a thing as a mekeva, you still wouldn't know that by a yachid we can have sometimes zocher, sometimes mekeva, that it applies to both. That's why we needed to do. Okay, fine. So the question is, Sover Rav Yitzchak Levi high curl of hachiyu da'asa? You're telling me Rav Yitzchak Levi holds that you need the pasuk b'chol chasas to teach us this concept? Well, Tanya, we learn the bright. Rav Yitzchak Levi, remember? L'fi shemafinu kola inin kola inim adabe ala parim and nesrachim l'firim and nesrachim. The whole context of Yitzchak Levi says is of those sukkim over there where it says that where the pasuk says that the pasuk says over there again. B'chol chasas asher yuhu midama el oyel moed l'chata b'chodesh lo yitzei achol ba'esh yisara. Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says that pasuk doesn't teach us about a chasas chitzoina where you took the blood into the heichol where you weren't supposed to. That's some pasuk. That pasuk is telling you, what are you supposed to do with a chasas pnimis? What's the proper way of doing with a chasas pnimis? You bring the blood into the heichal, and the body of the korban is supposed to be taken out and burned outside your shrine. All these five chatoris chesed, the pyre and the third of Yom Kippur, the pyre helam gadol shel sibur, the third of the Kiryas Arba Nezara, the pyre kohen Mashiach, all of them are chatoris pnimis. And all of them, the proper way of doing them is you bring the blood of them into the heichal, you do the various halachos. Afterwards, you take the body of the korban, you take the emurim and burn them on the mizbeach, and then you take the rest of the body of the korban and you take it outside your shalayim and burn it. So Rav Yitzchak Levi says that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. The pasuk is not telling us anything about chatoris chitzonius where you brought the blood into the heichal.
The context is
pnimis, though. Yeah, That whole process is just teaching us about these Purim and Purim and Nisrachim, what the proper way is to do with them. That if they became Tosel, you burn them in the Beis Avira, which is an area within the Har HaBayis. You only take them outside of your Shalayim and burn them in the Beis HaDeshen if they're done properly. But if there ended up being some soul during the course of bringing the Korban, then you just burn them in the Bira, which is an area in the Har HaBayis. The Lamed Beloisa Tachon also, and that you have a Loisa say if you eat it. So according to him, this process, the Chol Chatos, is the Chama talking about the case of a Chatos Chisona where you took the blood into the Eichel. It's talking about what's supposed to be done with Chatos Chisona and what's not supposed to be done with it. You're not supposed to, you're only supposed to burn them outside your Shalayim if they were kosher, otherwise you burn them in the Harabayas, and you're not allowed to eat them. So according to him, the whole Chatos is not coming to teach us about Chatos Chisona at all. So what is he telling you before that we're learning from the Chatos Yochid, Chatos Sibur, etc.? Omrulai, Chatos Damat Shenichnas Damal, the Chachamim answered to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, knew, and according to you, Chatos Shenichnas Damal of Snaib Lefnim Minayin, knew that according to you, where are you learning the concept that if the blood of a Chatos persona is taken into the Heichel that becomes fossil, if you're saying you don't learn it from that fossil, where are you learning it from? Omrulahem, Hein Lo Hova. So he answers them, I learn it from the case of the carbon that Allah's only son are grown from Pasha Shmin, where Moshe tells them, why do you burn it? You were supposed to eat it. And he asks them, Hein Lehova as Dama ala Kodesh Pima, was the blood brought into the Heichel? Implying, says Rabbi Yechazi, because if it had been brought into the Heichel, then you would have to be right in burning it. So he says, that's where I'm learning that you burn such a Kodesh.
Once it's brought inside, that's just been on.
Right. No, because that was also Kodesh Jairus. That was the third of the Kodesh.
Right. The one that he wanted them to eat was Kodesh Jairus.
Right.
And they didn't.
Right.
So there's the two opinions. Was it because
it was because of Anino. The point, yeah. Right. The point is, though, that when Moshe is trying to check out the situation, he asks them, was the blood brought into the Heichel? Implying if it had been, then you'd be correct in burning it. But it wasn't brought into the Heichel, so why did you burn it? So Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says, fine, I don't need the pasuk in Parshas Tzav for that. I have this story in Parshas Shmini. The Chum holds that you learn it from the Chol Chatos. The answer is the Dvar of Rabbi Akiva. You're right. Rabbi Yitzchak Levi is saying, I myself don't hold that you learn from the Chol Chatos, that you learn anything about Chatos, Yochid, and so forth, anything. But even according to you, Rabbi Akiva, that you want to say that you learn from it about Chatos Kisona, where the blood was taken into the Heichel, nevertheless, you don't have a source to say that the blood and the coal are referring to other types of Korbanos. At most, you could say that it refers to other types of Chatos. And that's it. So we have the Machlokes, Rabbi Yitzchak Levi and Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha is like the Chamim in our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, that only a Chatos becomes possible if you bring the blood into the Heichel, no other Korban. Only a chatos person, if you bring the blood into the Heichel, becomes possible and has to be burned. Other korban is not. Therefore, not a shlomim, not an oila. Therefore, returning to the case of, and not an oshim, like Rabbi Yehuda says. So returning to the case of our Mishnah, if you had blood of a chatos, if you had blood of a chatos pnimit that was mixed up with the blood of any of these other korbanos, then fine. Then it's not a problem. You can bring them into, you can bring them into, L'chatchila, you still shouldn't do anything with it. L'chatchila, you should still pour it into the Amma, because you still shouldn't, L'chatchila, be bringing it into the Heichel. But, b'diyavet, if you did it b'chutz, and then you did it b'snim, then it's kosher. And if you did it b'snim and b'chutz also, with the other korbanos other than chatos, it would also be kosher.
The only time it's not,
it was when it's a chatos. Okay. Mishnah continues.
Anytime.
So, right, so now the Mishnah continues. So now we're going to talk more about the Zinim, about the blood of a Chatos being brought into the Heichel and becoming possible, and that's going to take us to the end of the Perek. So the Mishnah says, Chatos Shekibol Dama B'Shnei Chatos. If you collected the blood of one individual Chatos in two different Mizrachim, in two different cups, two different containers, Yosta Echad Man Lachos, and now you took one of those containers of blood outside the Azara, Apnimi kosher, the one that remained inside the Azara is still kosher, and you can still go ahead and apply the blood from that onto the Mizbeach, and the Korban will be kosher. We ignore the one that was taken outside. It becomes possible. It'll have to be poured into the Amma, but that doesn't affect the kashrus of the other one. Because they're two different containers. What? No, not one hide. No, they both came from the same Korban. Once it was taken out of the Azara, it became possible.
But it doesn't pop over.
It doesn't pop over when
it went out.
Well, because it went out. Because it went out of its place where it's supposed to, yeah.
But you could say that just by one going out, it's not
the same. But that's the point of the Mishnah. Right. But what about Nishnas Echaman Lefnim? What about the other way around? What if you took one of these two cups of blood into the hayfold? Does it popple the other one? Rav Yitzchak Aglivi Mash of a Kitchen. Rav Yitzchak Aglivi says the one that remained outside in the Azara remains kosher, and you can go ahead and sprinkle on there. But Chachamim Poslin, where's the Chachamim say so? That once one of them goes in Lefnim, then it topples both of them. Both.
Wow.
No, this is one chafa. One chafa to study. Where normally the blood is supposed to be applied only on the Mizrach HaChesed, and then that's done. In this case, you collected half of the blood in one Mizrach and half in the other, and then you took one of those Mizrach into a place you're not supposed to. So if you took it outside the Azara, we're saying it doesn't affect the Pashas to the other one. But if you take it into the Heichel, the Chacham say it does, now both of them become possible. Now that carbon is possible. Amr of Yetzendi, Sir of Yetzendi says, I can argue, I'll give you a logical argument to say that it should be kosher. Ma in b'makam shamachshava peselet, that madach in a place where machshava passels, if you were to have in mind to do the sprinkling in that place, namely b'chot, then that would be machshava chutzim, which we learned earlier in the Masechta makes the carbon possible. And yet, also some ashuyer kiyotzei, and yet the one that's left over in the Azara does not become possible like the one that was taken out. So even though outside the Azara is a strong thing as far as the thought of chutzim mana, of chutzim kaimai, nevertheless, you chachamim agree that it doesn't topple the one that stayed inside the Azara. Well then, makam she'ena machshava peselos b'snim. Well then, make a kavachomer. If you were to have in mind when you shecht in the korban that you're going to sprinkle the blood b'snim, that doesn't topple the korban. So if it's not even strong enough to topple the korban, ein adin shelo na'aseh to mashuya k'nichnas. How much more so that we should not make the one that stayed outside in the Azara be possible like the one that went into the hayfold? So fine, the one that went into the hayfold will be possible. Why should the one that stayed out in the Azara be possible?
Mm-hmm.
The Chum don't answer in our Mishnah, but that's what we'll see in the Gemara. Okay. Nichnas l'chaper achafishal etiver. What happens if you brought in the blood in order to be machaper? You brought it in having in mind that you're going to sprinkle it into the hail. Here we're not talking about two coats anymore. Here we're talking about the regular case. You have one coat, one Mizrach, you brought it into the hail. You brought it in intending to be machaper. It was a half of concern, yeah.
Okay.
Or according to Rabbi Kiver, it was any part of it. Officially Kiver, even if he didn't actually do anything with it, even if he didn't actually sprinkle any of it inside, possible, give it Rabbi Eliezer says it's still possible. Rabbi Shimon Oma Adshi Chaper. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it only becomes possible if he actually sprinkled it in the hail. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Hichnes Shogig Kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, If you brought it in b'shogig, it's kosher. It only becomes possible if you brought it in b'mezi. So Rabbi Yehuda would agree, apparently, that even if you didn't actually do kapara with it, it could become possible, but only if you brought it in b'mezi. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Kol adomim stolen shenosnu agave amizeh. Any of the cases throughout our parak where blood is possible and you placed it on the mizeh. Loi hirsa ha-tzit. The tzit of the Kohen Gadol is not medasta, does not make the korban b'dievet acceptable. Ela ala tomei. The only exception is if it was tomei. If the blood was tomei, because the rule is sha-tzit medasta ala tomei, ve'ene medasta ala yosef. The tzit can make b'dievet that a korban is acceptable if it became tomei. But not if it was taken out of the Azara or any of the other problems happened with it that we discussed in our past.
Only Tumah.
Tumah is Tumah. But actually, the Rambam holds that our Mishnah, strictly speaking, is not talking. Our Mishnah is talking about the blood becoming Tumah. But the Rambam in Kirush Mishnayot points out, strictly speaking, then that's not the final halacha because you actually have a Gemara in Stachim, where Mishnah and Adias have brought the Gemara in a long sugya in Stachim, where Yosef ben Yehezer says that blood of Kodshim is not the Kabbal Tumah. So therefore it's not capable of becoming Tumah, so therefore there's nothing to talk about. It's being miraculous of blood. Well, that's Yosef ben Yehezer gave this Adias and the Chachamim accepted it. But that becomes halacha. However, you do have other Rishonim who argue with the Rambam's understanding of that Gemara over there. They say that no, the Gemara means over there that blood of kachim is not able to be metame other things, but it itself can become tame. There's actually, there's a whole sugya, the whole sugya in Stockholm over there, a whole complex sugya over there about Tumas Asman Yesh Lahem, or Tumas Lev, or Tumas Achirim, so yeah. Okay. So more story. So Rav Yitzchak Levi says, again, like he said in our Mishnah, let's make a kabachomer. To say, again, that if you took in one nizrak of blood from the chata, that it shouldn't pass all the other one that wasn't brought in. Madach in a place where mashava passes the korban, namely bachos, if you had in mind to sprinkle the blood or be makrivit bachos outside the azara, loy pasal dam shabachos that should have been, the blood that was actually taken out does not pass on the blood that remained inside. So in a case where machshava doesn't hassle, namely inside the heichel, if you have in mind to sprinkle it or to use the carbon or whatever inside the heichel, it doesn't become possible. How much more so that it shouldn't hassle the blood that was left out in the azara? Same argument as he said in the mission. So here we have what the chachamim answered to them. What answered to them? Amruloi, the chachamim answered to the Yesi. Very nice, you have a kavachomer, but harehu oimrashi yuham midama. But the pasuk says that there is brought of its blood, meaning that some bichtas dama, even if only some of the blood was brought in, then all of it becomes false. So the pasuk is telling us not to listen to your kavachomer. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak really, because it says midama. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak really, Rashi points out, remember, Rabbi Yitzchak really answered that, Rabbi Yitzchak really would answer to that. Remember, he said in the end of the previous Gemara, before the Mishnah, Rabbi Yitzchak really said, I hold that pasuk is Bechlal not even talking about Chatzaris Chatzonis. That pasuk is talking about what's supposed to be done and what's not supposed to be done in Chatzaris Chatzonis, as far as grooming them and as far as not eating them and so forth. So therefore, he says, I don't care if it says midama. So I don't care if it says midama over there. That pasuk is not talking about what you say it's talking about. I hold that you learn this whole concept from a whole different pasuk anyway. Hein like over es dama, and there it does say es dama, meaning all of it.
Do you think we can apply this to particle physics, where particles communicate faster than the speed of light, whether it's possible or not, according to Rabbi Yossi?
So Rabbi Yitzchak really continues. Kavachomer leyotze me'asa. Well, in that case, then based on what you're telling me, you chachamim hold that blood that was brought into the heichel passes even the blood that was left out in the azara. Well, then now that should make it possible to flip the kavachomer around. Kavachomer leyotze me'asa. So now we should make a kavachomer as far as the dinin where blood was taken out of the azara. Madach in a case where machshava doesn't battle, Rabbi Yitzchak Levi is arguing to Chachamim. He's saying to them, you're being inconsistent. You're saying that on the basis of the pasuk, fine. You're saying you can't accept my kavachomer because you hold that the pasuk midama is talking about chatas tefillin. But then, based on that, then your own logic should force you to say that any of the blood of a chatas of any korban was taken outside the azara, or a chatas, we'll say, because we're talking about chatas. If any of the blood of a chatas was taken out of the azara, it should pass all of it. And you hold that not. So Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says, then you're being inconsistent. And I can show you being inconsistent because I can make a kavachomer. In a place where machshava doesn't pass on a korban, namely b'snim, namely again, if you had in mind when shechting the korban that you're going to sprinkle the blood b'snim, it doesn't make the korban possible. Yet, hoisel dam sh'b'snim es shebachos, but you chachamim are saying that taking one mizrak of blood into the heichel passes the other one that you left in the azara. Well then, makom shemachshava peselas bachos. So in a case when you're talking about bachos, which is stronger than b'snim, because machshava passes the korban. If you even only think about sprinkling the blood bachos, then it already makes the korban. B'snim where's in b'snim not? Ein adin sheyipsol dam shabachos as shebatim. Shouldn't it be all the more so according to you that the blood you took out of the azara should pass all the blood you left in the azara? And you chachamim aren't saying that, so you're being inconsistent. What would you do with this kavachom? Chavrulay, so the chachamim say yes, but we also have the pasuk again, which we hold the pasuk is talking about these cases, and the pasuk says harei yomashik yuva. The pasuk says that the blood is brought in, meaning hanichnas poisel veina yotze poisel. Meaning yuva means bring in. If it was brought out, it would be No, you mean brought in. You thought would do whatever would be brought out.
You brought in.
No, that's the same thing. The Yuva means bringing in.
Yuva got it.
Yeah. So again, you're right. You would have a very valid Kabbalah over there, but the Pasuk is telling you not to do that because the Pasuk says that's your mark. So therefore, Hanichnas Paisel, the Enayotah Paisel. So only when blood is brought inward of where it's supposed to be, into the Hekel, does it pass the Korban, not where it's taken out of where it's supposed to be. Then it only passes. It is then. That's it? Yeah.
Very fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the word Yuva means to be brought in. Yeah. Okay. Yuva means to be brought in.
It means to come. It had come. It's made to come in.
It said, yeah.
Come and make it come in.
No,
come. It's like,
Yuva means okay. If it's just
bringing.
No.
To bring Yuva
means. To bring meaning closer. Closer in, in other words, if it was just to bring, if it was just to take from one place to another, then it would use, then it would use means specifically to bring. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Okay, fine. Again, so our previous two kavachomers, the Chachamim are saying, are slugged up based on system. Let's try to make another kavachomer there. Or tehei machshava b'tzim, says Rav Yitzchak Levi. This one is not even according to the Yitzchak Levi. This is a question that you can ask both according to the Yitzchak Levi and the Chacham.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, hey, machshava b'tzim kaiselus mikavachomer. Well, Paco, why don't you use a kavachomer to say that machshava b'tzim, having in mind to sprinkle the blood in the hay, for wood possible occur. Namely, umab makam shalay possible dam shabachot b'tzim, madach in a case where blood that's taken outside is the azara, doesn't pass all the blood that's left inside, and yet machshava kaiselus, yet the chutz is strong enough that it passes if you have a machshava of it, because my chutz from the cone, right, makes the cone possible. Right. Makam shapotel dam shabasnimus, dam shabachut. Well then, if with the heichel, we're bringing any of the blood in, topple the blood outside, according to the chachamim, ain't a din shtei machshava b'tzelos b'tzim. How much more so then that machshava should topple when that the machshava should topple if you have in mind to sprinkle the blood inside?
Mm-hmm. And that's totally wrong.
Well, which we know is not like that. The answer is Harei Yoremer Bayeh Mashlishi. Yes, we have a process that says regarding Machsheva Chutzlum L'Mekhoimai, or actually, we learned earlier in the Sechta, we had a Pasuk in Parashat Tzav, we had another Pasuk in Parashat Goshen that talks about the beginning of Pigul, about Chutzlum Manai, and we said over there, we had a whole study over there explaining that actually we say, since we don't need them both to teach us about Chutzlum Manai, then instead we reuse one of them in we use it instead to teach us about Chutzlum Mekhoimai. And in that connection, it says, by Yom HaShlishi, where we darshan from the word Shlishi, meant, Mokam Sheyem Shulash V'dam V'Vosu V'Emorim, meaning that the Korban becomes possible only if the place that you had in mind is a place that's tripled as far as Dam, Vosu, and Emorim. So what do you mean triple? The Rashi over there in that studio earlier in the Masechta had said that it meant that it has to be a place where the blood and the buster and the emurim are all possible if you take them out of it. In other words, mokum mishulash.
Okay.
Yeah, mokum mishulash meant when it comes to the hay hole, if you eat carbonus, so Rashi learns like this. Makom Meshulash means, at a time when you're allowed to bring carbonus outside the Beis Mikdash, during the period of Heter Bomber, the dam could be offered outside of the Beis Mikdash on any bomber, the Boster could be offered there, and the Emurim could be brought over there. As opposed to the Heichel, you never offer Emurim inside the Heichel, and you never eat meat inside the Heichel. Therefore, it's not a Makom Meshulash. It's not a place where all those three things could be done. Tosfos over there argued on
court.
So therefore, that's what we learn from the word Bayema Shlishi. We learn that only, when is the carbon possible? What is the definition of Chutzlum Mekhoimai? Is a place that is Mesholosh, where any of those three things could be done at times when Bama is Samotu. Tosfos over there discussed and said that that's not what it means because among other things, Tosis points out, you are allowed to eat the meat of a Koban in the Hayful. We learned from the sixth Perek, we said that if you're going up besieging the Azara, then you can bring the meat into the Hayful. Right. Fine, but nevertheless, the fact is. So therefore, Tosis learns that what it means is that it has to be a place where all three of them are possible if you do them over there. If you bring the dam outside the Azara, it becomes possible. You bring the Boster outside the Azara, with conscious anyway, or with conscious Talon, you bring it outside your Shalayim, it becomes possible. You bring the Emurim outside the Azara, they become possible. As opposed to you bring the Boster or the Emurim into the Heichol, they don't become possible. As we're going to see later in our Gemara. So therefore, it's not Makom Meshul. So again, the point is, yes, you would have a very logical kavachomer to think that machshava should pass on the hekel, but that's blocked by the word by Yom HaShlishi. Now, how about, though, let's try the other way around, yet another possible kavachomer. V'loy tehei machshava paselach v'chos m'kavachomer. Then in that case, let's argue that a machshava of doing any part of the avoda outside the azara should not pass all the korban. M'kavachomer, we should make a kavachomer as follows. When it comes to the hayful, where if you bring the blood inside, then it passes the blood that was left outside. And yes, in machshava paselos b'pnim, and we just established on the basis of the word by Yom HaShlishi that machshava to do the avoda inside the hayful does not pass the korban. Makom shalay pasul dam shavachos, that's shibatim. So then when it comes to taking it outside the Azara, where if you brought one mizrak of blood outside the Azara, it doesn't topple the other one. And again, we said everybody agrees to that, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yisrael. Ein adin shalo yehe posa machshava b'chus. How much more so than the machshava shouldn't topple it. If even bringing the blood out there doesn't topple the whole carbon, certainly machshava shouldn't. The answer is, again, yes, that would be a very logical kavachomer, but after all, Talmud Lama Shlishi, Chutzlis Manai, Pigul Chutzlis Makomer. But after all, you have the word Shlishi, Bayema Shlishi, and you have the word Pigul, and you have the word Pigul, so therefore we learn from that that there's a concept of Chutzlis Manai, and there's a concept of Chutzlis Makomer. So therefore, so that's it. Again, you could have used that kavachomer, but the fact that the Torah tells you, Pigul who, about Chutzlis Manai, and the fact that the positive says, Bayema Shlishi, which refers to Chutzlis Makomer, that tells us that there is, Mishulash, that tells us there is such a thing as Chutzlis Makomer. You can't say that it won't pass all the carbon because the Pasuk is telling you otherwise. That's obviously what the Pasuk is telling you, it overrides the Kabbalah. Okay. Alright. Now another din. Now let's talk about another din. We know that if meat of a korban is taken outside of the area where it's supposed to be, the Azora for Kodshim Kodshim, Yerushalayim for Kodshim Kalim, we know that it becomes possible. And Nichus Lefnim Kosher. On the other hand, if meat of a korban is brought Lefnim, is brought into the Hekel, then it remains kosher. And now, ultimately we're going to say that we learn that from Sukkim. But you would think to make Shehei Bidinch possible, you would think to make a Kabbalah that meat of a korban brought into the Heichol should be possible. Umab makam shalat posel dam shabachos es shabatim, because madach, when it comes to outside the Azara, where if you take one mizrak of blood out, it doesn't possel the other one that remains in the Azara. And yet, boser ayot shalachos posel, but if you take meat out of that area, it becomes possel. Makam shakotel dam shabatim es shabachos. So then the Heichol, on the face of it, is stronger, because if you bring in one mizrak of blood, it possels the other one, according to the Chachamim. So shouldn't it be all the more so that meat that was taken into the hayful should become possible?
Meat
is more stringent than dam, but if we're saying, yeah, well, in a way it is, because we're saying that any dam that's taken outside becomes possible, but only that, nothing more. Whereas if you take the buster out, then it becomes possible. So then if you take any of the dam into the hekel and it makes the whole dam possible, shouldn't it be all the more so with boso? That it should make the meat itself that you took into the hekel should be possible.
Because if you
take it outside the azara, it becomes possible. And the blood that you took out though is not strong enough to topple the other blood. So how much more so than if the hekel was even stronger, where you bring in some blood and it topple all of it? How much more so if you bring in some meat over there, at least it should topple that piece of meat itself? No, Hagayo Omer Midama. No, but the Pasuk says if you bring of its blood, meaning Dama, for like Basar, meaning the din only applies to Dam, the din does not apply to Basar. Everybody agrees to that. You're right. Rabbi Yitzchak really would say that Pasuk is before. I'm not talking about these din names, right. So this would be a coincidence.
Interesting that Rabbi Yitzchak really would be in the Mishnah, but the Pasuk is in the Mishnah.
True.
Yeah,
a lot of times the Mishnah just gives part of the argument and then the right is still in the rest. Yeah. All right. Well, let's
makes it look like he's right and then wrong.
Okay. All right. Okay, but the fact that Rebbe put the other opinion like the Chacham as the Chacham means it. Okay. So let's just finish up this discussion. Kavachomer me'ata. Well, then based on that, now shouldn't you be able to make a Kavachomer? So then when it comes to the Hekel, you bring some of the blood inside and it passes the blood that was left outside in the Azara. And yet if you bring the meat into the Hekel, it remains kosher because midama, as we just said. Well then, when it comes to bachot, when it comes to outside the Azara, taking out blood over there doesn't pass all the other blood. Shouldn't it be then all the more so that any meat taken out of the Azara should still stay kosher? Why are we saying it's possible? The answer is, fine. But the Pasuk says that meat that's in the field, trefa, you should not eat. Now the simple meaning is it means an animal that was injured by a wild animal, which we'll learn about in coal investigation. But it also means the fact that it says basada in the field means, because after all, it doesn't make a difference that an animal becomes safer by an injury, whether it's in the field or wherever. From that, we learn a general concept. In general, any time meat is taken out of the mechitza that it is supposed to be in, it becomes possible. So that's where we see that blood, that meat of kodshim that's taken outside of the azara or the shalayim, as the case may be, becomes possible on the basis of a vasa basada tree. And by the way, I mean, you have other dinim that you learn from that also. We'll learn when we get to Chulin, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about a case over there. No, in the Heichel not, because that's not Bachot, that's the Sinim. Bachot for the Chitzotin is outside of the zone where it's supposed to be in, meaning the Azor or Yerushalayim in the case. And yeah, by the way, we'll learn in Chulin, Bez Hashem, we'll learn about the whole din involving over there an unborn animal that starts coming out of the mother's womb and then you shech the mother. You have dinim over there also that get involved with the boss of the tree, because we also have over there Chutzim Chitzot. So you have a general concept that there's a certain zone for the certain zone for kodshim, there's a certain zone for an unborn baby and so forth, and it has to stay in that zone, and if not, then it becomes false.
Is considered
Yeah, of course, it's all surrounded by the Azara anyway. It's going inward rather than going outward. Chutzim means outside the zone where it's supposed to be.